Greetings, Anchor Baptist Church and Pastor Ben Turner. It is my pleasure to join you again by way of video. And so, of course, I wish I was there in person, but the Lord knows, and I trust that God is keeping you and encouraging you during these times in which we're living. And so we praise the Lord for you, and we want to encourage you to keep on keeping on for the Lord. Psalm 23 is where we're going to take our passage from tonight. Psalm chapter 23, and let me say again, it's hard to believe it's been 2 years since I was there, and it's hard to believe that it's been that long. And but boy, we sure did have a good time when I was there, and I'm reminded of your church often because, of course, y'all gave us a mug, I believe, with the city of Vancouver on there, and so I pray for you often when I'm drinking my coffee in the morning. But I'm so, again, privileged to be able to join you in your Wednesday night revivals. And I trust the Lord and how we need revival. These are crazy times in which we live in. But, you know, out of some of the craziest times in human history have come some of the greatest revivals. And so that's what I'm praying for. I'm praying that God will do something in me especially. I know God's not done doing work on me through this process. And maybe that's what it's all held up for God to keep working on me personally. But I want the Lord to use me. I want the Lord to purge some things maybe out of me, maybe some attitude, sin, whatever it may be. Hopefully God is using that to perfect you during these days in which we live. And we got to meet Brother Caleb Turner here a few weeks ago and how we enjoyed having them for our missions conference. I wasn't able to join because I think I was actually in, right near Toronto. I was in Canada at the time, so I didn't get a chance to meet them until the last day when they were leaving, and I was coming back into town, and of course after that everything got shut down. And so, praise the Lord for being able to meet him, and again, I trust the Lord is taking care of you. We've been praying for some of the folks in the church there, those that are facing physical difficulties with the virus going on, or with other things, the salvation of your loved ones. I praise the Lord for that. I get to see the reports often on social media about how the Lord is working there and how God is saving souls and he's changing lives. And I'm telling you, that's an encouragement to all of us that are watching your ministry from afar. Appreciate the opportunity. Thank you again, Pastor, for inviting me to speak to you. Psalm chapter 23. As we look at Psalm chapter 23, if we had to guess, if we had to surmise amongst ourselves why or what would be the greatest chapter in the Bible, I think we would say Psalm chapter 23. I think if we said what's the most popular chapter in the Bible, it would have to be Psalm chapter 23. Now, I think if we said the most popular verse in the Bible, that would probably be John 3:16. And I remember as a young kid not even knowing the Lord, and I would see men at football games and other sporting events, and I would see they would always be holding up a John 3:16 on a poster board there. And I remember thinking, what is that verse? And I remember as a kid learning that verse from a church I was going to. And I remember going through that process there and learning John chapter 3, verse 16. And I remember why it was so popular. Of course, there's a great message in it. But I don't think I could ever find a more popular chapter in the Bible. Maybe for Bible-believing Christians, maybe Psalm 119 is popular. I know the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, is pretty popular. But I think if we had to overall guess what is the most popular chapter of the Word of God, it would probably be Psalm chapter 23. Nearly every funeral that you go to is going to have some reading in its entirety or some passage or some reference to Psalm chapter 23. And I'm going to tell you, it's amazing. People have it on their walls of their houses. They have it in nursing homes all over to remind us of Psalm chapter 23. And we wonder and we've pondered and we've sat down and we've rehearsed it and we've memorized it and we've even sung it in some cases. And what's the importance of Psalm chapter number 23? And that's what I want to talk to you about today, the Psalm 23 life. Brother Allen, what does Psalm 23 have to do with revival? I think by the time we're done with all this, you're going to see more clearly than you ever have. Psalm 23 is not a dying chapter. Psalm 23 is a living chapter. Psalm 23 is not teaching us how to die as a Christian. It is teaching us how to live as a Christian. And may the Lord help us. Psalm chapter 23, verse number 1 says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, thank you for this time of revival and special emphasis by the Anchor Baptist Church. And Father, I pray that you continue to bless my good friend, Brother Turner, and name slipped my mind for whatever reason, but Lord, I pray that you bless my good friend, Brother Ben Turner, and his church, Lord, and so many of our friends that are there. May you just continue to use them, help them to grow as Christians, and help them to be an influence in Colquitt and Burnaby and all of those areas, the greater Vancouver area. May you continue to use them in great ways. And Father, I pray that you even use those that are extending out of their church and the mission field and everything that will go on. Father, we thank you. We praise you for your goodness. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us a little bit of revival in this service here tonight, and you'd use it in a great way in the hearts of your people. We pray this in Christ's name. Make the scriptures come alive, and may they change us. Amen. I remember as a kid, my aunt, who did not know the Lord, as a matter of fact, she was known in our family, so, I mean, she literally drank, I think, from the time I was born to the time, probably about 15 years of age, I don't know, up until that time, had I seen my aunt sober for any amount of a 24-hour period. I mean, there when she got up in the morning, she drank. When she was in the afternoon, she drank. In the evenings, she drank. And I've got several other family members that were like that throughout our time there. Many of them now have been saved, and God's done a work in there. But I remember my aunt, even in her most drunken stupors, could quote Psalm chapter 23. I mean, it was almost an amazing thing, but somewhere along the line, she had it so ingrained into her that she could quote Psalm chapter 23 even while she was drunk. And now I know how the deacons do it, but just kidding. But it's amazing how it was so ingrained in her from the time she was a child that she could still quote the 23rd Psalm. And by the way, just information here, it's amazing to be preaching behind this pulpit right here. This is the pulpit from our old church building. We built this building here about 10 years ago, and I'm in our Spanish room right now where we have Spanish church on Sundays. But this pulpit right here was the pulpit I got saved under. Our pastor was preaching from it. If you could see it from my angle, there's scars and there's scuff marks all over the flat surface of the pulpit, the lectern part. And if you could see, there's a difference in the wood here in the front. Our pastor was preaching one time, and he did like that and split the whole front of this off of here. He was an old-time preacher, and thundering and pounding the pulpit and everything else. And it's a pleasure to be preaching behind this pulpit that I got saved under 27 years ago, this past March 21st. But as we look at this thing of Psalm chapter 23, I want to draw some things out of this passage here today that are going to change your life if you will allow it. I want you to notice several things in this chapter here, and then we'll be done. I want you to first notice in Psalm chapter 23, the pastor. And by the way, my sermons are a lot like Sesame Street. This one is brought to you by the letter P and the number 9. And so when I start getting near the ninth point in this message, you'll know it's about time to shut it down and make sure our food isn't burning when we get home to eat tonight. But it's brought to you by the number 9 and the letter P. So all of my points will start with the letter P. But I want you to notice tonight, I want you to notice the pastor in Psalm chapter 23. I want you to know the Bible says this: "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. It's amazing how many times through the scripture that we find the word sheep and shepherd. The Bible said in Isaiah that all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. And so the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But he reminds us that we are sheep. The Bible said there are sheep scattered abroad. They were scattered abroad in Jesus' time as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus said he was the good shepherd. The Bible and Peter calls him the bishop of our souls. And let me tell you tonight, the Bible says that the Lord is my shepherd. But I wonder how many of us tonight are lacking revival. How many of us are lacking spiritual life in us because the Lord truly is not our shepherd. Well, it's easy to say that. It's easy to say, boy, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It's easy to quote. It's easy to talk about it. But how many of us really are being shepherded by the Lord? I have noticed in my travels and in my just dealing with our own church people, some people come to the point in their life and the place in their life where they are no longer pastorable. I say, Brother Adam, what do you mean? Does it mean they left the church? Oh, no, I'm not talking about you left the church. But some people, because of their attitude, because of their pride, because of what's going on in their life, they become unpastorable people. Nobody's going to tell them what to do. And by the way, that's what Satan, the Bible says, until iniquity was found in him, he was perfect in his generation. Until Isaiah chapter 14, when he said, I will do this and I will do that and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds and I will sit upon the mount of the sides of the congregation in the north. I will do this. And he said, I, five times in that passage. You know what? Satan became unpastorable. And I wonder how many of us in our pride and in our arrogance and in our stubbornness, we have become unpastorable people. You say, Brother Adam, that's talking about the Lord. Sure, it is talking about the Lord. But listen, from my experience of 27 years of being a Christian, 28 years of being around Christians is, listen, if you can't follow the material, if you can't follow the physical pastor that God has put into your life, my guess is you're probably having a hard time following the Lord as your shepherd also. I understand, listen, sometimes pastors can get out of whack, sometimes evangelists can get out of whack, but I'm going to tell you this, God will never be out of whack, and I'm going to tell you, he sends people into our lives because he wants to pastor us, and we have become an unpastorable people. Say, so how can I tell? Well, when was the last time you asked the Lord, what did he want you to do with your life? When was the last time you sought the Lord's advice? When was the last time before you made that decision to move and you made that decision to change churches or you made that decision to have children, not have children? When was the last time you made that decision, well, I'm going to take this job, I'm going to take this project on? And listen, we have come to the place where we are no longer listening to the voice of the shepherd. It sure is cute to talk about it. It's cute to quote Psalm chapter 23. But when was the last time really in your life where you looked at the Lord and you said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? When was the last time you did that? I'm reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane there and he's having a battle within himself of, man, I really don't want to go to the cross. I really don't want to go through this. He said, let this cup pass from me, which means, listen, there was no conflict in the Godhead as far as morality. There was no conflict in the Godhead as far as character went. But there was a change in the will, Jesus Christ as a man saying, listen, I don't want to go through with this. I understand I need to go through with this. I understand I have to go through with this. And Jesus Christ himself came to the conclusion and to the point of surrender of saying, not my will, but thine be done. Even the Lord Jesus Christ himself was pastorable by God the Father. Jesus even said in one instance, he said, listen, my return is not based upon what I want to do. He said, no man knows the hour when it's going to come. He said, except for my Father which is in heaven. And Jesus is waiting for that word even now. When the Father says, go get my bride. And Jesus is pastorable. But how many of us, we think we're smart enough, don't we? We think we're good enough, don't we? We think we got it figured out, don't we? We think we got the world by the tail. Maybe there's a young person and, boy, you got it all figured out. But I'm going to tell you, if you're going to get anywhere in life, it's going to be by you being pastorable by God the Father. Jesus said this. He said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them And they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. The problem with sheep is we have our own mind sometimes, and we think we have it figured out. Sometimes we think we know what the will of the Father is, and He begins to nudge us in another direction, and we try to go in that other direction, and we try to force our own way, and we try to misinterpret or reinterpret what He's got for us. But I'm going to tell you, you would be smart in your life just to listen to the shepherd of your soul, to your pastor. Well, man, I feel like the Lord's calling me, but I've always wanted to be a businessman. Well, I feel like the Lord's calling me, and He's putting on my heart to be a soul winner, but I'm shy. Well, I feel like the Lord's calling me to be a Sunday school teacher, but you know what? I'm not really that organized of a person. Well, listen to me. It doesn't matter how organized you are, how talented you are, or what plans that you have. If the shepherd is trying to move you, it would be the best thing you could do. Just follow the shepherd. There's a shepherd. There's a pastor in Psalm chapter 23. If we're ever going to have revival, we're going to get to the place where we're pastorable again. We have to get to the place where God is the only one that we're following. We got to get to the place where His plan is the only plan that we have. There's a pastor in Psalm chapter 23. I want you to notice this. There is provision in Psalm chapter 23. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures," folks. That is the provision in Psalm chapter 23. I'm glad and I'm thankful this morning and tonight. I'm so thankful that God is able to take care of His own. But can I refer even back to part number one of being a pastor? Many times we are not being cared for. Many times our needs aren't being met even physically because we do not have a pastor. Therefore, we do not have the provisions that God has for us. And I tell you this, God's going to take care of you. God is able to take care of you. David said this, I am old. I've said I've been young and now I'm old. And he said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. David said, God provides. God provides. And yet we look at Psalm chapter 78 and they say, yea, can God provide a furnace or table in the wilderness? I'm thinking, are you nuts? Are you crazy? The same God that provided a path for you through the Red Sea, the same God that provided plagues so that you can come out of there, the same God that spared your children from the death angel, is the same God that can, listen, they complained about not having water, and God gave them water from great depths. They complained about not having bread, and God gave them manna that fell from the sky. They complained about not having meat, and the Lord provides an east wind that comes, and the Bible says there was so much quail that came out of that body of water, there was so much quail that came out of the sea, they could barely step their foot down where they did not have quail. At one point he said, I'm going to give you so much quail until you vomited out your nose. There's provision in the Lord. I tell you, if you're struggling today amidst all of this junk going on and the shutdowns and the lockdowns and all that kind of stuff going on, can I encourage you, God is going to take care of you. Wouldn't it be something if God used these verses to revive your heart in the midst of the trouble? And He talked about reviving them in the midst of the years. And boy, wouldn't it be amazing if God took this time of trouble in your life and began to show you supernaturally that He can provide for you? And listen, if I told you every story, and I don't have time tonight to show you this, but every story about how God's provided for me, I've not traveled for 50 days, physically traveled for 50 days, praise the Lord, I've been able to preach and some places, and been able to fulfill some of my meetings, and things like this that have come up that I would not normally have been preaching at your church, but I'm able to do this through technical means here, and I'm glad about it. But if I told you the miracle after miracle after miracle that God has done to take care of us, it would take me 2 hours of preaching, and I'm not doing that tonight. Can I say to you, I can tell you on the authority of 27 years, there's provision in following our pastor. There's provision. He said, the Lord is not only able to shepherd me, He's able to shepherd me into provision for my life. Not only is there provision, but I want you to notice this. There is a peace. There is a peace. He said, He leadeth me beside the still waters. There is a peace in Psalm 23 kind of living. There is a peace that comes upon him. I met a man several years ago who's a missionary to Haiti. He's in heaven now. Him and his wife both are in heaven. He went to heaven by way of accident. His wife went to heaven by way of leukemia. But his father, and I've preached a message out of this passage before, just things that him and I just sat down for an hour and just talked with each other. Because when he was younger, his dad bought a farm and he got some sheep and was a shepherd for a little while. And he told me this story, this illustration that I never forgot. He said, Brother Calvin, he said there, one time he said, I went out to make sure the sheep had some water and they had already eaten, but he said they needed some water. And he said, I went outside and I put their normal pail outside and a trough there. And he said, I put that thing down there. I filled it with water. He said, but none of the sheep would touch it. He said, I couldn't figure out what was going on. And he said, I went away from it. Maybe they were scared by my presence being there. And they get skittish. And he said, I went back and he said, I backed up. And they wouldn't touch the water. Wouldn't touch it. He said, I checked. There was no ice on the top. It was kind of a cool part of the year. He said, there was no ice on the top. There was no bugs inside of it. There was nothing. And he said, he finally went to his dad and said, Dad, he said, I don't understand what's going on. Of course, he was a young man, about 12 years of age or so. And he went to his daddy who was in the house. And he said, Dad, he said, these sheep won't drink. He said, I'm scared of something. Are they sick? Something's wrong with them. And his dad went outside and stood on the back porch of the house. And he started looking over to where the pail of water was. And he started to laugh. And his son couldn't figure out why he was laughing. And the dad went over there. He grabbed the pail and he moved it from this. This is how far he moved. He said he moved it from here to right over here. And he said when he moved that pail of water, those sheep, I mean, they just flooded, no pun intended, and they flooded that pail. And they began to suck that up like a Hoover vacuum cleaner. And he said it was gone that fast. And he said, Dad, what was the difference? What was the difference in that being over here and being over here? He said, son, he said, stand right there. And he said, I stood over there. And he said, I felt a light breeze coming. But over here, the barn was kind of blocking the wind. And his dad said to him, he said, son, he said, this is why. He said, sheep will not drink from troubled waters. Sheep will only drink from still waters. And he said, I understood better than ever that the Bible said that, listen, he leadeth me beside the still waters. They tell us that sheep will not drink many times from a babbling brook because of the noise there of the troubled water. And what is God saying to us? If we'll follow him, if we'll follow him and follow in his ways and in his steps, not only will he pastor us, not only will he provide for us, but he will bring peace into our lives. Now it's amazing, the Bible says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There's no peace, and many of you remember what it was like when you got saved, and maybe you were in false religion, or maybe you had some other things going on in your life, but you remember what it was like to be at those troubled waters. You remember what it was like to lay your head on your pillow at night, knowing you were either lost, or not knowing what was going to happen, or hoping that you appeased the God that you were following at the time. You remember what it was like to have no peace, and then all of a sudden you remember what it was like when the Lord Jesus Christ came into your heart and life. You say, why does that happen? Oh, because the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 7, I believe it is, could be in chapter 14, excuse me. He said this, thou shalt call his name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And I tell you what the Bible says, there's no peace for the wicked because they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, many today are in a panic mode. They don't know. They're living in such fear. And even us as Christians, we can get gripped with fear. But I'm going to tell you, if you'll rely upon the Lord, if you'll trust in Him, He can turn your fear into faith and He can bring a peace over your life. How many times did the disciples were scared, they were afraid during a storm, and all of a sudden Jesus would come out on the bow of that ship and He would say, peace, be still. And I encourage you tonight, Jesus one day is going to reign and He's going to rule from Jerusalem, the city of peace. Do you know why he's going to rule from there? Because it just makes sense that the Prince of Peace will one day rule from the city of peace. And my, what a peace he's going to bring over us. Can I tell you today, God can bring a revival of peace in your heart tonight if you'll trust him. you'll follow him. I want you to notice there's not only a pastor, not only is there a provision, not only is there peace, but I want you to notice this, there's a pardon. The Bible says he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. I begin to look at that word restore in this passage right here. And what I thought it was, I thought restore meant, how you take something and you fill it back up again. I thought maybe it was restoring to a level of, your drink got kind of below and somebody kind of refilled you back up and that's what I thought it was. I thought, it was a second helping or something like that. But when you begin to research this word, you begin to think about this thing, this restoration. Basically, this restoration is this. I'm going to make it just like it used to be in the beginning. Just like it used to be. If I were to take this pulpit, and they've done some things with this pulpit over the years, but some people have carved their names in it, and I see several of our students, and all of them which are going to get demerits after this, but no, several of our former students whose names are in the pulpit here, and what is a lot of marks on this pulpit here, and years ago they did some things to try to restore it a little bit, but there was no full restoration. Can I tell you what God is able to do to your life? God is able to restore people. And I thank God that God doesn't just discard us. God just doesn't strike us dead like some Greek god standing on a mountaintop somewhere waiting for you to fail and throw a lightning bolt on your head. But I'm glad, so glad, the God of the Bible is able to restore us into how it used to be. And I say to you tonight, I don't even know if I'll get a chance to finish after this. And I'll mention the other points if I don't. You know, that's what true revival is. Revival is restoration. It's restoration. It's hitting a reset button on my spiritual life. You know what God did when he saved your soul? He restored you to what could have been in Adam. Adam was designed to be perfect. Adam was designed to live forever until sin came into the picture. You know what God's able to do to you? He's able to make you to live forever someday. And what he's going to do is that when you breathe your last breath, everything that the devil took, everything that the flesh took away, everything that this world took away from us, God is going to restore us to an even better state than Eden was. He's going to restore. And I tell you what revival is. Revival is God restoring us again. God is restoring us. Why? Because there's times in our life when we grow cold and distant from him. There's times in our life when we get complacent in our walk with him. There's times in our life when we get cold and we allow it. And the Bible says, even in the last days, the love of many will wax cold. And our love for sinners and our love for our husbands and wives and children, it can begin to die down and falter. Our love for the word of God and for the souls of men will begin to falter by the wayside. But I'm going to tell you tonight, what God wants to do in your soul is bring about a revival and bring about a restoration in your life. Several years ago, we had a president here in the United States that said he wanted to radically transform the United States. And I'm not one that preaches politics from the pulpit. I think it has its place. But one wanted to reform America and wanted to revolutionize America. And one said, listen, I want to restore America to its greatness again. And can I tell you today, something that you love, a house that you love, or a pulpit that you love, you don't want to tear it apart piece by piece. You want to restore it. And let me tell you today, God loves you more than any pulpit. God loves you more than any country. God loves you more than any toy or some car that needs to be redone. God wants to restore you back to the place of being revived. He wants to restore your prayer life and make it how it used to be. He wants to restore your marriage how it used to be when it was sweet in the time and you were on that honeymoon stage. God says with me, you can restore, you can be like that again if you'll follow the shepherd in your life. You want him to restore you. You want to get to the place where, man, that prayer time is sweet again. You want to be to that place. And I said, listen, Psalm 23 is not a dying psalm. It is a living psalm. And if we're going to live for God and we're going to follow the shepherd, listen to me, my friend, we're going to have to get to the place where we allow him to restore us again. Not only will you find that, but hurriedly, you're going to find a plan. You're going to find a plan. He said, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his sake. Oh, I'm so thankful for a God that has a plan. I'm so thankful for a God that is willing to pastor me. Not only pastor me, he's going to provide for me. He's going to pardon me. And then he's got a plan for me. What about you tonight? What does God want me to do? I don't know what he wants me to do, but I know this. He's got a plan for me. None of us are here by accident. Nobody did God wake up and say, oops, what am I going to do with him? God has a plan for your life. God's got a plan for you. If you'll follow the shepherd, he's got a plan for you tonight. You say, I don't know what that plan is. Listen, I don't know what the plan is for your life, but I know this, God has a plan. I know God does everything on purpose. I know God has everything. Listen, as sure as he put the moon in its place on purpose, and that the way that thing rotates, and he put it just close enough to us where we can have the tide comes in and goes out, and things can grow and all of those things. We can have a lesser light by night. And he put it not too close enough to where we all drown in the day. He put the sun close enough to where we can get heat and nutrients from it and vitamins from it. And if you live where I live, you see the sun about 2 weeks out of the year. But y'all know a little bit about that in Vancouver. But he put it close enough to us so we can receive warmth and vitamins and vitamin D from seeing it. But he also put it far enough so that we don't burn to a crisp every day. Why? He's got a plan. You know what the Bible says? He put the stars in their courses. And nothing ever crashes in. I mean, it's not like we look out and say, man, you know what? In about, you know, we're going to crash into Venus in a couple years. No, God put a plan. And God can plan your life so it doesn't crash and burn either. Look at us. Look with us tonight. The Bible said, as he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Oh, I want you to notice this. I want you to notice there's not only his plan, but I want you to notice there's his protection. There's his protection. And my, of course, my church, a couple weeks ago, they were in Israel, and about 2 months ago now, they were in Israel, and one of the places I wanted to hear about was a place known as the Valley of the Shadow of Death. You see, this is not death itself, but it is a place of danger. It is a place of troubled times. And he said, Pastor said, and several of the men that went there, I said, can you describe to me the valley of the shadow of death? And they said, sure. They said, it's what it says. It's a valley. It's a narrow valley that they'll walk into, and many times they will take their sheep down that valley because there's some nutrients down there. But it also, when they're traveling one place to the other, and they said they call it the valley of the shadow of death. Because in many cases, there will be thieves and robbers or animals down there hiding in that valley. And the shepherd's going to take them through that valley. This is, by the way, why he said, listen, while I'm in the midst of this valley, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Why? Because if I'm going into the belly of the beast, I want a shepherd that's armed and ready to go. I mean, what would it be like if we sent our troops over there and overseas and in different places, we sent them over there with video cameras instead of machine guns? That would look foolish, but I'm glad for tonight for a God that didn't send us into war by ourselves, but he gave us protection. He said, even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the most dangerous spot for a sheep to go through, I've got a rod and I've got a staff. I'm going to protect you. And I think even more than his protection, he said, for thou art with me, there's his presence. There's his presence. Let me tell you tonight, if you are troubled by the presence of God and not comforted by the presence of God, you may not be one of his sheep. Let me say that again. If you are not comforted, if you are troubled by the presence of the shepherd and not comforted by the presence of the shepherd, you may not be one of his sheep. Because for you and me that are in this life, we're going through troubles even right now. These are difficult times. These are dangerous times. There's things that can make us sick. There's people that we're probably sick of. But I'm going to tell you, we can go through these times and we can say, oh, we are troubled. That's what they're going to say in Revelation. We are troubled at his presence. Hide our face from the one who sits on the throne. But for those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ, we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. What's your attitude like? You go through this life, are you comforted by the presence of the shepherd? Or are you worried that he's that, oh, look at that staff, look at that rod, oh no. You know, and I look at him, I said, man, if something rises up to try to hurt me, man, God's going to take care of him so fast. He's going to thump him on the head so fast. It's going to be great. You know, in Psalm 23, there's protection and there's his presence. My, how we need the presence. Joshua said this in the scripture. He said, if their presence go not with me, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And I tell you what would be the greatest thing that I believe will bring revival in our hearts, and even pastors and preachers like me, if we'll get to the place where we can say, listen, if your presence go not with me, I don't want to go. I don't want to preach without him. I don't want to sing without him. I don't want to play without him. I don't want to teach a Sunday school class. I don't want to preach another revival without him. Is that your heart tonight? Or is your heart, you know, I can kind of take it or leave it. If he's with me, if he's not, I'll just go through the motions of it. Well, listen, if you go through the motions in the valley of the shadow of death, you're going to have some real problems. His presence is with us. May I mention tonight, not only is there presence and protection, there's purification. He said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He said this, thou anointest my head with oil. Thou anointest my head with oil. That oil, I can preach a whole sermon about that oil in and of itself. He said, thou anointest my head with oil. That oil anointing process is because of many a time there are insects that will live in the eyelids of that sheep. And one of the key ways of doing that is the shepherd will take the head of that sheep, and it's for cuts, it's for a lot of things that can happen. But he'll take the head of that sheep and he will anoint it with oil. And that oil will kill those fleas and anything else that's in there because they can't, it suffocates them. And they can't. He said, you are anointing my head with oil. He is not, listen, I understand it. And listen, you can talk about the power. We're going to talk about that in a second here. But there's a purification that needs to take place amongst God's people. We don't see very clearly because there's a bunch of junk in our eyes. Let me ask you this, when was the last time you asked God to purify your eyes? To purify your head, to purify your mind, and purify your hearts. And even James tells us, he says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. It's the last time we asked God to revive us and to purify us. The Bible says he gave himself to redeem us from all iniquity, that he might purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. He said, don't discount holiness, because without it, no man is going to see God. What was the last time you said, God, would you purify me? He said, thou anointest my head with oil. He said, this my cup runneth over. He said, there was so much left over. He said, there's power. There's an abundance of power here. How we need the power of God. I know this, when God begins to pour into a person's life, there's not even, he said, I'm going to bless you so much. In Malachi chapter 3, he said, you're not even going to have enough room to receive the blessings that I want to give you. I wonder how much more so for us that are in the church. The Bible says Jesus Christ had the Spirit without measure. I wonder if there's some of us that would say, you know what, I'm craving the power so much, I want to clear my eyes that I may see the way he wants me to see, and I want my cup to run over with his presence in my life. By the way, that's what anointing was in the Old Testament. It was a representation of the Holy Ghost of God sanctifying people, setting them apart for his purpose. I wonder, has God placed his power on you to set you apart? Or are we saying, no, God, we just want to be near you, but we don't want to be anointed. We don't mind the provision, but we don't want the power. We don't mind the peace that he brings, but we surely don't want the power of God on us. May God help us to crave it. Oh boy, I want it in my life. Can I say this lastly? There is a paradise awaiting us. There is a paradise awaiting us. Or a paramount, if you please. Verse 6 says, as surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He said, man, the conclusion is going to be great. Boy, the conclusion of this, he said, goodness and mercy are going to follow me if I take all these things into consideration. If I follow the Lord, and he just blesses me, and he provides, and he purges. Boy, now there's even a purging in this. I didn't even get to that, a purification and a purging. But he said, listen, there's a paradise at the end of this. He said, goodness and mercy are going to follow me. He said, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, again, we can correlate that to heaven. I believe he's talking about being around God's people. And I believe there's anything wrong with us saying it's heaven, but I believe the life lived for Jesus Christ can be a paramount of paradise in our lives. So, Christian church, it's up to you tonight. Because Psalm 23 is not a way to die. It is a way to live. My friend, if God will bring revival to us out of the most common chapter of the Bible, He will transform our lives. And the next time you read that, the next time you see it quoted somewhere, may God help us to live these verses. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, I pray right now that you would bring a spirit-filled revival, even by way of a video, amongst your people. And may we not just die by Psalm 23. May we live by it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, Anchor Baptist Church. May the Lord continue to bless you and work in your heart. Maybe you want to take some time and just spend some time with Him personally or as a family and do something about what God has done in your heart. God bless you, church. God bless you, pastor.